It's good to see you all today, and it's good to have Aline and Dale Olson with us this morning. Thank you, Aline, for singing with Paul, and we enjoyed that. Great praise and worship. Thank you, Paul, as well. We want to send out a hello and a greeting, and Lord bless you to Steve and Seta up in Sholo as they continue to serve the Lord there, and to Jeff and Shannon in Atlanta. We just pray for you as the Lord continues to bless you and use you in the place where you are now. So I want to remember them today. Want to go to the Lord in prayer and just set our heart on the word this morning. Every time I think that I'm through and do something else, as far as the series on hearing God, then he gives me something else in line with that. So we have at least today, maybe one more. I don't know now. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we've had to come and lift up praise and worship to you. For the word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. And we know that we experience your presence, just your great love for us when we come together, even though our affection is to be set fully upon you, and we do it for your glory because you're worthy of honor and praise. We reap such a benefit as we are able to sense and know that we've come into a special presence of the Lord as we worship together and as we praise you together. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ, and we thank you, Lord, for you who were willing to give up yourself for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord, willing to suffer, die, and be buried for us. And we thank you most of all for that empty tomb, for that resurrection which guarantees us life and power to live for you. And so today we celebrate those things as we come to you to hear from you in your word. Lord, in everything that is said and done today, my desire is to glorify and honor you simply because you are worthy. Every time I step into this place to speak a word in your name, I stand on trembling ground. I realize the weight that goes with that statement, that I'm bringing something in your name that I believe that you want to impart to your people. So Lord, take away anything from my thoughts that has not been given by you. And Lord, help me to only do and say that which will lift you up, glorify you, honor you, and draw your people into a deeper relationship with you this day. And may you be exalted, may you be lifted up, and may all things today point towards you in that majestic, wonderful, awesome, mighty name we pray, Jesus of Nazareth, strong and mighty Son of God. Amen. We have four scriptures this morning, and we're going to begin. The first one is just one verse, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to see a pattern in the life of Jesus that will help us in our understanding of hearing God and being led by the Spirit. Today is especially hearing God as in the leading of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. The first verse is what I want to focus on. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we will see how this plays into our pattern that we find in the Word of God this morning. You may want to go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we'll be there in a few minutes. So in our first scripture, again, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into a time of testing, a time of trial, testing through temptations to show his power to overcome those temptations and then to begin his earthly ministry. These things came in order. He has just come from the Jordan River where he was baptized and where the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it says that he came out from the river and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And then when he finishes passing the test of the temptations in the wilderness, it says then he went away filled with the Spirit and with the mighty power of God upon him in order to begin his ministry. And so we're going to see a principle, and I'm going to say it different ways, but there's a principle that's going to emerge out of this morning. The title of the message is Hearing God, Revelation Follows Relationship. Revelation follows relationship. And we'll come back to that in a few moments. But in the part where we find ourselves right now, I want to say it this way. Leading follows filling. Being led by the Spirit follows being filled with the Spirit. After he was filled, and if this is a pattern, or if this is a principle that we found even for the Son of God, how much more for us who through faith become sons of God, the Word of God says. After he was filled, he was led. Jesus is our pattern in so many things as we find this life of the Christian, as we walk with the Lord, there we find that there is a normal progression. And we'll see that progression in just a moment. We will be led by whatever we are filled with. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. We will be led by whatever we are filled with. And this morning, I want you to take this in, because if you want to be led by the Lord and you want to hear the voice of the Lord, this is an important and powerful truth. You will be led by whatever you are filled with. So let's take inventory for just a moment, and we could list dozens of things, but I just want to mention a few. If we are filled with selfishness, we're going to be led by selfishness. And I'll actually shorten that. If we're filled with self, we will be led by self. All of our decisions will be self-centered, self-motivated, self-serving, self-protecting, all of those words that we've talked about before. Selfishness, if we're filled with it, we are led by selfishness. And I'm calling these filters through which we can hear a polluted word. And you'll understand that. I'm just dropping these things in and we'll lift them out again in a moment. If you're filled with anger, you're going to be led by anger. Now, I'm not in any place in this message taking away from the wonderful grace of God to help us through those times in our lives, to give us forgiveness for those things. But we have to understand that if we continue in a pattern, if we continue in an area of disobedience, if we continue in an area of sin in the inner man, it's going to affect the filter. It's going to affect, things are going to be filtered. We think we're hearing from God, but it's going to come through a filter. If we're filled with anger, then we're going to hear things through a filter of anger. And we're going to operate out of anger. If we're filled with offense, how many times have we seen this? If you're filled with offense, then you will be led by offense. And I can tell you so many times I've ministered to believers who are filled with offense, and it becomes a lens through which, or a filter through which, they view the world around them, because they always then, they're set up by the enemy. They expect to be offended, because this one offended them, this one offended them. So they're always sensitive to things and they're easily offended. The Bible teaches us that we must come to the place where we die to self and we're not offended by anything. Amen. We're not offended. You know, he says that we are crucified with Christ. Dead men aren't offended, are they? Dead men aren't moved by what someone else says or does to them. If you pull a gun on a dead man, he just lies there, right? Same thing should be true of us as believers. And I know it's a process as we learn to walk in these things, but when the enemy comes against us, or when someone speaks that harsh word or that offensive word, the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spirits, these things that the enemy uses to come against us. And so we have to learn to die to those things, that they don't move us. They don't change our position in the Lord. If you're filled with anxiety and fear, oh, you're going to be led by anxiety and fear. And how our world is filled with that right now, with people who are anxious and fearful, and then they're led by anxiety and by fear. Their decisions are made through anxiety and fear. And when we're led by bitterness, or when we're filled with bitterness, we'll be led by bitterness. It spills over to everyone else's life. Those are just a few, but God's Spirit within us, the Bible says, produces peace, joy, and righteousness. Peace, joy, and righteousness. This is becoming very important now in this message as we talk about hearing the Lord and being led by the Spirit. If you're going to be led, you must be led from a foundation of peace. Personal peace, peace with the Lord, peace in His dealings with you in your life. You know, there's probably a message coming sometime about how to be content yet not be satisfied. We're to always be content as far as not being down because of our circumstances, not being under the weather, as we say. We're to be content. Paul said, I've learned to be content in all things. My circumstances, whether I have a lot of food or little food, whether I'm cold or warm, all of these external things, he says, I'm content. But when I say not be satisfied, we're never to be satisfied with how much we have of the Lord. Never to be satisfied with how close we are, because there's always a deeper walk with the Lord. There's always something deeper, always a higher mountain, always somewhere that He wants to take you that's new and fresh every day. And the foundation for that is the very, very still waters of peace, joy, and righteousness. If we don't walk in righteousness, and what do I mean by that? I mean that in our own imperfection, when we fail, when we are unrighteous, if we don't walk in the understanding that our righteousness is not our own, that it's given to us by Christ, amen, through faith, and that He gives mercy and forgiveness, and therefore we can come when we sin immediately. Don't wait. Immediately. Yes. Learn the lesson of quick repentance.
Amen.
Repent and walk in freedom. Freedom, because in the Lord there is no condemnation.
Amen.
There's liberty in the Lord. It doesn't mean there's liberty to walk in sin and ignore it. It means that there's liberty to rise above it. There's liberty to walk free of it as we continue to cry out to the Lord for help, to ask Him to make us overcomers, to understand that we are in ourselves not sufficient for these things, that Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we're always coming with a repentant heart, but with a grateful and celebratory heart,
yes,
that God has saved us, redeemed us. He cleanses us from our sin. We don't have to walk in guilt, and we don't have to walk in condemnation. Amen. And so that is what it means that we can walk in righteousness, is to the best of our ability. We're being obedient to the Lord. But when we fail, we don't walk in that either. We don't walk in guilt. We walk in freedom. And so we have this open relationship with the Lord. We're not hindered by those things where the enemy wants to point to us and say, oh, but you did this, or oh, but you did that. You say, absolutely, I sure did, and I'm free in Christ because he has forgiven me. So we have righteousness. We have joy. Our joy is not in the things of this world. Otherwise, we're going to be always coveting and longing and being driven. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive us. Cars are driven. Sheep are led. The Lord leads his people, and he leads them gently, and he leads them in ways that build up that peace and joy and righteousness on the inside. And so we have joy. We find our joy in the Lord and in what he is doing in us and in his word, how he speaks to us through his word. And then the first one was peace. Peace. And that goes with everything that I've said so far. We have to have a foundation of peace in our heart where we're not, the waters aren't turbulent. The waters aren't turbulent. The waters are still in our soul. He leads me beside still waters, the Bible says. I believe that speaks of a very interior thing. He leads me by still waters. My soul is not like the waves as the storm came against the disciples. And Jesus said, peace, be still. Suddenly the waters were calm. Speaks of the situation in the inner man, the situation in our heart. Amen. That he speaks to us things that produce stillness and peace. All of this is through relationship with him. And so there's peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, because that's what being filled with the Lord produces. That's what relationship with him produces. Jesus said, take care how you hear, or be careful how you hear. You know, he said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. But then he also said, take heed how you hear. Take care how you hear. It's a strange statement. Be careful how you hear, not just what you hear. Be careful how you hear. And I believe this goes right back to what I began with a few moments ago, these filters. If you seek to hear the Lord, but you hear through anger, through a filter of anger swelling up, producing stormy waves in your heart, it's going to pollute what you hear. It's going to be mixed with the things, the thoughts in your own heart, and it's not going to be pure and clear, and you're going to be open to deception within your heart. If you try to hear the Lord through offense, through these filters, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. You want to first build and have a relationship with the Lord where there is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So in our first scripture in Matthew, Jesus first, and he sets a pattern for us, Jesus first is filled or anointed with the Holy Spirit before being led. And then he was led into a wilderness testing. To wrestle against the temptations which he had to overcome to continue in his mission. You know, Maggie and I, there's something that happens that's really hilarious. If it weren't troublesome, it would be even more funny. But as you get older, your hearing, even if you still have decent hearing, it just changes. You know, if there's noise around, then it's much more difficult to hear something clearly. Or if someone's in another room and there's any noise in the room where you find yourself, makes it hard to hear clearly. And I don't know why we keep saying we're going to keep a logbook of this, because it would be absolutely hilarious to share if we wrote them down. But at least several times a week, if not more, Either I will say something to her from another room, or she will say something to me from another room, and I'll use me as the example in this. She'll say, Mark, such and such, and I'll say, you said, and I'll tell her what I thought she said, and it will be something that's absolutely off the wall and funny and hilarious, and it will sound just like it happened this morning while Paul and Aline were practicing, and they was in here, and she hollered, I was in the other room in there, and we had been up to Globe, and there was a store kind of similar to Tractor Supply and mixed with a little bit of Bass Pro Shop. It's a new chain or new in this area. And we went to, it's Cal something. And she said, Mark, was that store Cal something? And I'm in the other room and I said, is what calcified? I thought she said, is something in here calcified? And I'm just like, what could she possibly be talking about? But see, the remedy for that in that kind of situation is that she has to come into the room where I am. She has to be near me for me to hear clearly. Or else I'm hearing it through the filters of the noise around me and my own lack, my own dullness. It's the same thing with the Lord. We want to hear the Lord, but relationship comes before revelation. And when at Faith Harvest, when I say revelation, I don't mean bizarre stuff contrary to the Word of God. Amen. God's already revealed everything that we need. But there is personal guidance, personal words from the Lord that aren't in the Bible. They have to line up with the Bible. And when we read the Word of God, many times He speaks to us and we'll say, oh, I got revelation. I think the best word is illumination. But everybody uses revelation because revelation means to take the lid off, to unveil something. And so where we didn't see it before, all of a sudden it's unveiled to us. And it's like the Lord is just speaking directly to our heart, and He is. But He illuminates what's in the Word in such a way that we see it for the first time in that way. And so we want to draw near to the Lord in relationship. If we don't want Him in this room of our life where He can rearrange the furniture the way He wants to, where He can come in and He can say, this stuff in your room goes if you want me to fill the house. Jesus was filled and then He was led. There is relationship with the Holy Spirit where we want Him to come and fill us. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in order to be born again. But if we want Him to take full residence in our life, we have to ask. We want to be filled daily with the fullness of the Lord. And then as we have that clear relationship with Him, then we will be led. It will become the normal means in our life that we find guidance is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to our heart and leading us. And so closeness is necessary for accurate hearing. Closeness is necessary for accurate hearing. Relationship precedes revelation. The Holy Spirit doesn't like to scream for some reason. I find that disconcerting sometimes because I want Him to scream. I want Him to say, this is exactly what I'm trying to say to you. But He doesn't do that. We learned about His whispers, the shouts, and the in-betweens some weeks ago. But He speaks clearly and in a regular voice through the Word of God all the time. But those personal words that we need, He speaks most often in a still, small voice. He whispers so that we have to get close in order to hear because He wants our closeness. He wants the relationship. See, we're always running around wanting to hear. It's all about me. It's all about my future. It's all about God. What do you want me to do? And He's saying, well, I want you to come and sit with me. I want you close to me and all the other will fall into place. You have to be close enough to hear his whispers. And he will share his thoughts, his secrets, and those who are close enough to hear his still small voice will hear these things. So let's turn to our main two scriptures. The first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we want to continue with this thought that relationship with the Holy Spirit is more important than revelation from the Holy Spirit. First, he must be our peace, our joy, our strength, as well as our righteousness. In other words, he has to be the source of everything that we need. He leads us through relationship, and he primarily does not speak to us a personal word. Now, of course, it's spoken to us from the word. But when we come to him, we get peace through that relationship with him. We don't have to hear him say something new. Everything that we need to get peace is right here in this book. And as we draw near to him through faith in what we read here, we have peace, joy, and righteousness. And then we will have what we need when we need to be led in some way. So in 1 Samuel 30, we're going to look at David, and then we're going to look at Saul. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacking Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. Pause for a moment. This is where David has left his wife, his family, his children, his wives, his family, and children, and all of his fighting men have left their families there, and they return and find the place burned. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. The enemy has taken David's wives and his children. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, his own men, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Just underline that. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover them all. We find hidden, if you will, in this passage, this very thing that I'm talking about this morning. David finds himself, and you can begin to enter into this with your own life, depending on the circumstances of your life right now, those who are watching by live stream and those who will listen to this later. I know that there will be some who will find themselves in somewhat, some way, a similar situation to David. David finds himself in the midst of the most devastating hardship of his life. How many times have you been in a place where your soul was devastated, and you said, I need to hear from the Lord. I need a word from the Lord. King Saul wants him dead. His family has been abducted. Great personal tragedy. He is grieved. His own troops have turned against him. They want to kill him. If we put it somewhat in today's language, it's kind of like for us, Satan has set his hand against us to destroy us. Perhaps he is wreaking havoc among you, among family members. He's infiltrated the family and he's carrying their hearts away from God to destroy them, and it grieves you greatly. And then David's closest friends in the battle, maybe your closest friends in the church and in the battle, the serving the Lord as believers, maybe someone has betrayed you. His men have begun to turn upon him and the people, and they blame him for all of their troubles. Maybe you've experienced betrayal and being blamed by others for the things that are wrong in their own life. David, again, he was in great distress. And we will see that God is going to lead him in turning all of this around. He's going to give him a word. He's going to speak to him. But what does David do first? There's a twofold thing that happens, a principle once again. First, it says David strengthened himself in the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. He went to the Lord. Before he inquired of the Lord, he strengthened himself in the Lord. And the closest we can ascertain, and we would find much of it by reading the Psalms, David went to the Lord in humble worship and praise and pouring out his heart to God, but he goes and he is reminding himself. We find this as a pattern in David's life also, that he's always rehearsing the things that God has done for him in the past. He's always remembering how he slew Goliath. He's always remembering how God gave him strength to kill a bear. He's always remembering how he did this one thing or that thing where God empowered him and came through on his behalf. And he remembers those things and he builds up his faith again and he strengthens himself in the Lord. This is David's pattern. It's his MO. It's how he operates. He isn't pleading for something from the Lord first. He is worshiping the Lord. We find him in the Psalms. The pattern of his life is that he's praising God. Even in hard times, he's glorifying God. And he's finding that strength, that foundation on the inside, peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And so he strengthens himself in the Lord. Then he inquires of the Lord and says, "What shall I do?" Remember this order. He strengthens himself in the Lord. The relationship is right. And then he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord speaks and tells him what to do. I want to say it a different way, but say the same thing again for emphasis. He strengthened himself. He got into God's presence, and he drew upon God's righteousness, joy, and peace, because it's against that backdrop that revelation comes, that leading comes. David went to God for inner strength before he asked God for further directions. And we're going to compare that with his rival, Saul. Look back a couple of chapters, chapter 28, beginning with verse 3. Saul is a believer who once was greatly anointed by God and was in a beautiful relationship with the Lord in the beginning, but he let his heart be turned from that relationship. And he coveted other things, and he put other things ahead of his relationship with the Lord. Now his heart is far from God. His relationship has been broken by sin. And look at what a difference this makes. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Some translations will say the witches and spiritists. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. The Philistines are the enemies of God's people. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, He was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium or a witch, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, "Please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one that I shall name to you." He's going to bring up Samuel because he can't get a word from God. So he's going to go against God's own commandments that they're to have nothing to do with mediums and witches and spiritists, anything to do with the occult. But Saul is afraid and he needs something from God. But the relationship is not right. The relationship is broken. And so he can't go on that foundation of relationship first and then revelation. So rather than get his heart right, he turns and goes and does what God has forbidden. In a time of fear and desperation, he goes to God as though everything is okay. Multitudes of Christians do this all the time. Live a life that is self-directed. Live a life with no real relationship with the Lord. There's no, you remember the word says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? In other words, who can go up to the Lord and be in his presence? Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. For us, that means what I said in the beginning, not thinking that we're perfect, but walking in repentance so that we have clean relationship with the Lord. But Saul doesn't have that. There's no humility, there's no strength, there are no clean hands, and there's no pure heart in his relationship with the Lord. There's no intimacy anymore with the Lord. And therefore, he gets no answer. I know I quote this frequently. James says in the New Testament, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. The word says that Saul turned to a witch to get an answer. You know what we call that? Getting a word on demand. Getting a word on demand. Many Christians turn to ministries, to self-proclaimed prophets. You can find a multitude of them on television. Or even psychics to get a word on demand. Some ministers on TV and radio are willing to provide a word on demand. If you'll just send in your donation, they will send you a word from God. And they do get a word. They get some kind of word, these people who want a word but are not coming the way that God has ordained. They'll get a word. It may be a polluted word from an evil source, but it's not God's word. And it leads to deception and personal destruction. Such as Saul being afraid of the battle. And the Bible says after he did this, because God meant what he said about witchcraft, mediums, and spiritists. Later that day, Saul and his three sons died on the battlefield, just as he had feared. Much better to have a relationship that gives peace, joy, and righteousness and power than a polluted word that brings destruction. Amen. So in the latter part of this message, I want us to again see that Jesus is our pattern. Let's remember that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. And there's a progression. He was born of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He did miracles by the Holy Spirit. He offered himself as a sacrifice through the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. He breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples. He asked the Father for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. And he baptized believers into the Holy Spirit. In all of that, we see that Jesus lived a supernatural life. And always his relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit came before everything else. He was always going to the Father first in a relationship. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Father loves me, and I love the Father. And he just goes on and on with this beautiful language about the relationship that he has with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And so it's a supernatural life founded first, even in the Son of God. We find that pattern taking place before we can be used by the Holy Spirit. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. And before we can be led by the Holy Spirit, we must be filled. You see, Jesus went in that order. He was born of the Holy Spirit. I'll explain that in a second. Filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and then used by the Holy Spirit. Before we can be used by the Holy Spirit, we must be led by the Holy Spirit. Before we can be led by the Holy Spirit, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Before we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must be born again by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And thus begins the life, the supernatural life of the Son of God. Our own spiritual life is the direct result of spiritual birth. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You must first be born from above, Amen. Born of the Spirit, he said. Now, we're probably going to continue and build on this in one more message. But today I want to remind you that the new birth produces a new life. How many times do I stress this? If we say we are born again, if we say that we're a Christian, things must be changing. Some things have changed, other things are changing, and things will continue to change in our life. I'm not where I want to be with the Lord, but praise God, I'm not where I was. I'm no longer lost. I'm now found. I'm no longer dead in trespasses and sins, but now I am born again from above, and I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things are made new. When a baby is born in the natural realm, there's new life. There's a name given. The Bible says that when we're born again, there is a new name for us written in glory. Amen. We come home from the hospital with a birth certificate. We've been registered. When we are born again, we are registered as citizens of heaven, the kingdom of God. Yes, we are. That baby grows and it changes. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing? What if some of us, we were to take us and then put us back into that metaphor? That when we were born again, we were a baby in Christ. I wonder how many times I would look out at, whether it's back in the church or buildings or in chairs, how many times would I look at 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 70-year-olds if I looked out at the congregation and there'd be a little crying baby in the chair? That's contrary to God's word. Yes. A baby grows, or there's something wrong. Yes. You know, with our own great-grandchild, if Genesis stopped growing and doesn't learn words and she just started taking steps this week on her own, if she stopped and sat down and nothing changed for a whole year, everyone would be devastated. Her parents would be devastated, and they would be in the doctor's office, and they would be looking for the root cause of being stunted. Yet how many Christians are born again and live their lives stunted when God has great horizons for you? And God wants to lead you and speak to you. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. He was like, but I haven't learned how to talk yet. I haven't learned how to hear. The Lord wants us to grow in maturity and to grow just like that baby grows and it changes. We should be changing month by month, year after year. Relationship with the Lord should be growing stronger, not weaker. And we should hear our Father speak. This morning, I want to leave you with a final thought. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 10:13. You see, Saul had heard God speak before. There was a time of growth and change when he was first anointed with the Holy Spirit. How many Christians walked strongly with the Lord, at least for a season, and heard the Lord, felt his leading, sensed the things that he was saying to their heart, and now don't hear him anymore? And now don't walk closely with him. 1 Chronicles 10:13 says, so Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. I want to read it again, and I'm going to paraphrase it for today, for you and I. So the Christian died in their relationship. Destruction came into their relationship, their intimacy with the Lord, because of their unfaithfulness, which they had committed against the Lord, and because they did not keep the word which he had already spoken to them in the past, and also because they turned to other methods to try to get a word. Our faithfulness means, to the best of our ability, obeying the Lord, serving him, walking closely with him. Keeping his word means, to the best of our ability, keeping what he has spoken to us through this book, and also what he has spoken to us in personal words, when he's perhaps maybe even convicted us of sin, or when he has called us. Because sometimes when God speaks the most clearly, beloved, it is costly. Sometimes we don't like, and we'll talk about this later, he will lead us where our flesh does not always want to go. But it's the place of even more peace, joy, and righteousness. If we follow what he has already spoken to us, we grow, and there's blessing in our life. But if we shut down and we don't acknowledge or keep the word that he has already spoken to us, it's kind of like when I sit at my computer and I decide that I don't want any more noise for today and I put it on mute. Well, how many of you know that doesn't mean there's not still something in there that's capable of producing sound to me, and it continues playing, but I have put it on mute myself. It's kind of like the illustration I've used for years and years, that if we begin to hear God speak and then we begin to ignore what he is saying or to walk in unfaithfulness, he's trying to get our attention, and he's not hard to hear. But then if we ignore, keeps knocking, he doesn't stop speaking. My heart becomes dull. And after a while, it's harder and harder and harder to hear the Lord, until I can't hear anything anymore because I won't follow what he has already spoken to me. God expects us to appreciate and be grateful for the word that he has given. If you neglect yesterday's word, it's like putting God on mute. Praise God for his faithfulness and his grace. Because even now, if that's you, he's calling you to repent. He's calling you to come back to an intimate relationship, to reestablish peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, that you may be led by the Spirit of God. For the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He says we're to grow in maturity as sons and daughters of God till we come to a place of full sonship, full maturity in our experience of the Lord. Amen? Let's ask the Lord for this as we pray. Father, today we come before your throne. And Lord, it is our desire that we would be led by you. It is our desire that we would hear you clearly. It is our desire that there would be nothing in our relationship with you that hinders the free flow of communion and communication between your spirit and ours. Your word says that spirit speaks to spirit. But we must come in humility and with lowliness of heart in order to hear the great and wonderful things of God. Lord, I know that your people thirst for you and long for you. And I know that many of your people here, Lord, want to be used by you in wonderful ways and desire to have your will expressed in their life. And so, Lord, teach us, Lord, each time we come to this word. Teach us each time we come to spend time with you. Teach us what it means to be in relationship with you as sons and daughters of God. Teach us to have communion with you, fellowship with you, relationship with you, that there's a strong foundation upon which, Lord, you can whisper. You can whisper and we will be able to hear you because we're that close. Like John in the upper room, who leaned upon your chest, so close to you that he could have heard your heart beating. Help us to be that close to you, Lord. Lord, you're not looking for people who want a word on demand. You're looking for people who want a relationship. All things will fall into place after that. Thank you, Lord. Have your way in our lives. We yield up our own stubbornness, our own disobedience. We yield our own hardness of heart up to you and ask for cleansing and forgiveness, Lord, that you might just lead us in that life of the new creation, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.